Yes, it's Thursday again, the day of common sense, which is rare, and today's date is May the 6th. This is the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Enjoy the show. There's a lot in it. Can you take me higher to a place of golden streets? Well, we can try. But what a glorious time it is to be a truther. All of it is coming out now. All that we have made our case for is being spilled out everywhere. There is no more real conspiracy because the truth has prevailed. But the great question is, what happens next? Well, that is down to you all. You can worry or fear, or take pride in the fact that you have in part changed the world already. The next stage is to rebuild our world in a better way. And we're asking all people who listen to this to come and join the TPC communal gatherings and be a part of our new world in our image, not a new world order in their image. Some will worry about the world is in a mess. My question is, where were you before COVID? It was in a mess then. It always has been a mess. A violent, sadistic, cheat, greed and demon-based harvesting world. But with the truth being unravelled, we can all change that. All of us. And I wish all mothers of the world a happy Mother's Day this coming Sunday. All mothers are under heavy attack currently and we must fight to protect them. Birth rates have plummeted, which is what we warned of. But they must do their part also. Due to the moon cult, they are the most susceptible and have to do more to protect each other. And one hopes all are at peace. But peace comes from within. It always did. Now, it's been another busy week for myself, and it shows no signs of letting up this month. And this has caused me to not be too involved in the initiation of the communal gatherings. But I'm pleased some of you are taking up the mantle yourselves and organising. And this is essential moving forward, as my time becomes more and more limited with various ongoing processes unfolding currently. The calls on my time has increased dramatically for private help, group help, and my input into other things that I'm involved in that goes way outside of this show and the social media pages. But this week marked two personal anniversaries on the same day, May the 4th. The day I was asked to prove myself, or prove to myself, could I step up within and of myself and no longer play the shadow player I had done previously. Now, I'm content working behind others for as long as those others are doing the right thing. But if not, I step forward more. And this was certainly the case in Cosmic Voice, as Drake had kind of stagnated, and so I stepped up to help him out. But May the 4th, 2016 was a big turning point. It was the day I had waited for many years, as my admins will attest. The day Neil Keenan made his fatal mistake of reading a document for and by the Chinese faction. That was a letter they sent to the American government threatening them. I had read that over 6 weeks earlier. And Neil blew his cover finally and I outed it. I knew my time at Cosmic Voice was over, and a meeting held by Neil, Drake, Dean Chambers, Richard Montgomery, and yes, David Wilcock, to arrange for me to be fired, was held on the evening of the 12th of May. By Sunday the 5th of May, or 15th of May, myself and all the admins were fired without warning. Now, I received volumes of messages and emails of support after that and was encouraged to start my own show. I did, although a bit sooner than I had envisaged. And that launched THI. And I told you all in the opening two lines of that very first show, I will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And I also tasked you to think and act different. And we went on for 4 years of unparalleled success. We brought in other groups. We created the TPC, the state and country groups, and developed an in-house support structure and so much more. In essence, we became a global family group. But the shadow player, and not the front runner in me, reared its head during those 4 years again. As I was content to play the shadow role behind the trustee Kim Goguen, and it worked very well. We made fantastic progress with that work in partnership, and my roles took on a multiple hat situation. That included work, spiritual, security and financial support for Kim. Everything in my life at that time was geared towards the support of Kim, which she revealed to you all against my wishes, I might add, in our last two Zooms we had with her. But 4 years to the day, like a loop, Kim decided without provocation or cause I was no longer required and subsequently fired from my paid but unpaid position, of which she still owes me $212,000. My security clearance was revoked and she went on a public ranting spree, spewing all kinds of lies about me. And over time, they have been proven wrong. And only she can answer why she did all that, and whether that decision was the correct one to do, although there are many in THI and Life Force who will argue she was wrong. Of course it was wrong, given all I had done. But that is a key moment, and we all have these key moments in life. And the key for me now was, would I step up again like I did 4 years previously? And some doubted I could do that. In fact, some clowns thought without Kim, I would buckle. The answer was I wouldn't and didn't. And many of you have stated I've gotten much stronger, more firm in my belief and work. And yes, I can see and feel that. Since that date, the THI memberships across the board on four platforms all went up around 22% in the past year. Support for my work also went up this past year as well. Only the TPC suffered from the split, of which Kim, Alan and Liam must take some responsibility for disrupting the people's movement after their power play failed. But we are rebuilding that again with the communal gatherings and the TPC community. And so that is great to see. So what happened with the shows? Well, Kim claimed that without her, we would have no intel. Time has proven that wrong. Kim also claimed she was 50% of our show content. Time has proven that wrong as well. But without Kim in the past year, we have ramped up the must-listen-to shows. and done 19 of those in just 12 months. 19. Plus the 3 end of year reviews, with a number more in the pipeline. And whilst it was sad for many the split with Kim, and still is for some, I and we moved on to greater heights whilst others tanked. A year of much progression for us that sadly has not been replicated in the circle of white light or life force circles. But that is the choice they made for themselves. And it saddens me they never stepped up more within their own parameters, as we all have the same goals, allegedly. But the hidden hook played its hand and they dabbled in it. And the evidence is they did not move on themselves, and some would argue they have become almost a shadow of the former selves. But that is for them to address. But 12 months on, the image in the mirror excuse of blaming me for all their own ills has worn thin. But perhaps the tiny man was a bigger part than they all thought. And perhaps, as some have suggested, I'm not too sure, but that Neil, Drake, Wilcock and Kim were all there to bring me down, a suggested mixture of spooks and honeypot agents, and time will tell on that. But what I do know is, if that was the case, they failed. And I would like to personally and genuinely thank Neil, Drake and Kim for giving me the opportunity to self-elevate my own role, not at the expense of others, but from within myself. And they all played an important part in that in various ways, and I thank them all for that. And that is a lesson for us all, to keep rising no matter what obstacles, traumas or adversities are thrown in your way. As for me, I'm the same as I was 8 years ago when I started out on my radio path, still humble, still supportive, caring, sharing and yes, triggering, and compassionate for and by the people. And I will not sell out or be compromised, and that is my promise to you all. I was never driven by pieces of paper, titles or status. That is for the realms of the fallen ones. But what we have to do is build a better version of us. Build a better version of this country. Build a better way of living and build a better world for us all. Free of wars, disease and famine, and an abundance in cooperation, love, self-sufficiency and adult thinking ways. This is what THI and the TPC is all about. It's a teaching course. And it's not about me. It is about us all. We lead, others follow. Neil, Drake and Kim collectively said, "May the 4th be with you." It did, and it has. And that force rolls on inside us all. Those three, like our members, all raised me up to be a public figure. But I, with our members, all stand together, side by side. Right, let's get into the show. Much to cover again. And how much of our life is dictated through social media came to the fore this week. And Google searches and algorithms and all the other bullshittery. But I did a search of four people doing parody songs against the COVID scam, only to find there are none at the top of the Go Ogle algorithm charts. Only so-called celebs and other pre-selected jackasses doing the COVID test and techno jab promotional songs. Funny that, isn't it? Well, actually, it's not, because all celebrities are vacuous cretins and attention-seeking whores, and the sooner people realise that, the better we will all be. And what this also proves is they're on a massive PR push, never seen on this scale. And again, that is a massive plus for us, as we are forcing them to work harder to keep their bullshit going. Ultimately, it will fail, as too many now are just not buying it. And then we have the latest jackassery from Facebook. It's called Admin Assist. Ooh. Use Admin Assist to easily manage your group. Automatically perform certain tasks based on requirements you control. Yeah, right. This includes sharing feedback with members, managing posts based on keywords and more. Well, we don't need your admin assist. I'm quite happy with the ones we've got. And your admin assist is about as useful as fiction checkers. Unless, of course, your admin assist deletes the fiction checkers automatically. But then we do that anyway by posting the truth. We're off to India first. And this was sent in to me of life that's going on in India. Is this a test case? Is the question to be answered. And it's called genocide, starvation and corruption, which can apply in many other countries. And this is the truth about what's really going on in India under the guise of the COVID-19 virus and the alleged pandemic. These are not my words. These are the words of someone living in India who reached out to me to get her message out about the genocide that is taking place right now, all under the guise of strains and variants of COVID-19. People are dying of starvation and a lack of medical care. And she's witnessing and experiencing at first hand the horrors of what is happening. And here is her message. And she said, I'm writing to you about the genocide that is taking place in India, and millions have already died of starvation during the ongoing lockdowns. The government and media are lying and making it look like the virus. Although a national lockdown hasn't been imposed this year, many states are in either total lockdown or under strict restrictions. Most cities, including Pune, where I live, have been under total lockdown for weeks now. Restaurants, shops, gyms, theatres, basically everything is shut. And the cities are ghost towns. Even so-called essential businesses are only open till 11 a.m. in the morning. And you basically have just an hour to buy food and then your time is up. Interstate travel and even inter-district travel is banned. The cops wait at all the major crossroads to question why you are travelling outdoors or to fine you if you are not wearing a mask. The medical community here is also complicit in genocide, lying about hospitals being full and turning away people with genuine illnesses who need immediate care. They have even created a shortage of oxygen cylinders. The government has created a shortage of oxygen supply. Hospitals are turning people with genuine conditions away, claiming that there are no empty beds. All patients undergoing any operation or procedure have to first undergo the RT-PCR test or they are refused treatment. I experienced this firsthand. Since last year, there has been a government order that you cannot undergo any medical procedure unless you get the PCR test done. Unfortunately, I had to undergo a procedure last year. I did not have time to use common law or any other tactic as I was in a lot of pain. In the end, I had no choice but to be basically skull raped. Even in the operating room, they taped the mask to my face because I kept pulling it down. But my plight is nothing compared to that of the poor millions who have already died of starvation. The people hit hardest are the migrant workers and those in the rural areas. Most businesses employ migrant workers, and with everything shut, there are no jobs, no income, and no food. As a result, millions are now dying of starvation or malnutrition. This is due, we covered this maybe this year, maybe last year. Time seemed to disappear these days. Maybe it has. This is due to the Israeli based farming regulations being imposed on the country, and why millions have protested against it in India, and it's something that we did highlight. So with millions protesting their farming rights, less food was produced, and now the outcome that they wanted is unfolding. It is the classic reverse psychology program. And the person said, please use your platform to highlight the crimes against humanity that has taken place in this country. And the world needs to be aware of the seriousness of the situation here. And please do not forget your brothers and sisters here in India. Now, this show has highlighted India many times. In fact, we've highlighted many countries of several varying issues. But some may see the next line as inappropriate, but it's not. It is central to issues in countries like India. The religious, and in their case, spiritual elements that far from enlighten the Indian populace, they actually degrade it. And the story of India last week, of the elites all fleeing instead of buying oxygen machines. And it's time for India to name and shame all of those who left and cut off their oxygen, which is money and business. Now, people may say, but we'll have no jobs, and I agree. But that was what they were planning anyway. I warned of it in the Clowns in Panic show 2 years ago, and several pieces before that. The clue is, you have to look after yourselves. Don't sell your goods to those clowns. Feed yourselves. But the great question for the rest of the world, given India was the first country mass vaccinated, is India the canary in the coal mine? Because if it is, in the next 6 to 8 weeks, we should see the same effects in America. And perhaps the vaccine is what is responsible for the increased sickness, as I warned of in the early expose shows. A few years ago, I warned of the dangers to Australia and New Zealand of being caught in a war of the fake superpower countries, America backed by the Five Eyes Alliance and China. Now they are all backed into a corner, as I predicted, and playing out in the public arena. And four of the members have jointly condemned China's treatment of its Uyghur population in Xinjiang province. And they've also expressed concerns over China's de facto military takeover of the South China Sea. Ignoring the fact that it's called the South China Sea for a reason. Ignoring the fact of why do we have to portion everything off into land and sea grabs by the not dominant countries, but the elite funded countries. So why do I say that? Because all dominant countries have been backed and supported by the elites and the control system. As an example, Israel are not a dominant country yet wield so much power as they've been funded by the elites. They also complained its suppression of democracy in Hong Kong and its threatening moves towards Taiwan, which China has vowed to take back by 2049. Oh, the irony of the Australian and New Zealand land grabs from the indigenous people. All of it done by the Rothschilds, I might add, and their Jewish slave ships via the East and West Indies companies. But one country, though, has opted out of confronting China, New Zealand. And this was revealed in the short series called The Pine Gap, which was essentially a documentary series. It's only 6 episodes. Perhaps it revealed too much. And the Five Eyes Alliance, that also includes Canada and the mother country of them all, the UK, provides military support, safety and security for the two down under countries. But whilst the Five Eyes focused all of their attention on the Middle East, Iran, North Korea and Russia, China did deals on food and other strategic deals, and now have Australia and New Zealand over a barrel. If you don't support China and what are now vital trade deals to both countries will suffer, and both will face financial economic ruin and a shortage of goods. But what became clear in that documentary is none of the other countries care too much for the belligerent recklessness and stupidity of the Americans' role in all of this. And having observed more closer hand since being in this country, I can see why. The goons at the top don't have a clue. All too content in boosting the coffers of the pre-selected war lobby companies, all attached to several rogue RAN agencies that run not only counter to world peace, but peace within their own country as well. And the key to this, and to all countries' peace and well-being going forward, is to withdraw from all trade deals, whilst making your own countries self-sufficient. Ensure future trade deals do not have strategic or other damaging conditions attached to them, like the Paris Climate Agreement. And the deal is a simple trade deal between two countries and not conducive to support wars, regimes or land grabs. Israel. There was a massive stampede this week at a densely packed, so much for social distancing, Jewish pilgrimage site that killed at least 45 people in northern Israel on Friday, with rescue workers facing chaotic crowds while trying to evacuate the injured, of which there was over 100. Now, the disaster occurred in Meron, at the site of the reputed tomb of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who was a 2nd century Talmudic sage, where mainly ultra-Orthodox Jews flock to mark the Lag Bar Omer holiday. And it was called the Bonfire Festival. And so it's a public sacrifice. Now, the pilgrimage was the largest public gathering since the pandemic began, with reports that there were three times more people there than authorized. An initial report indicated that the carnage began when a section of stadium seating collapsed, but rescue workers later linked the casualties to a stampede. And a spokesman for the Megan David Adam Israel Rescue Service told the AP after that there were 38 dead at the time, it's now 45, but there were more at the hospital. And a source at the Northern Ziv Hospital, one of several receiving casualties, said that it had recorded at least six deaths. So what is the Lag Bar Omer? Well, the earliest clear reference to the observance of Lag Bar Omer is a brief statement by Isaac ben Dorbolo in the 12th century in France. And it is found in his annotations to Mazor Vitri. And he points out that Purim and Lag Bar Omer always fall on the same day of the week, like a loop then. But he actually says nothing about the origin of the holiday. Funny now, isn't it? A bit like Easter. Had nothing to do with Jesus and the 3 days, and everything to do with the pagan worship of Ostara. So Lag Bar Omer is Hebrew for the 33rd day in the Omer. Sounds all very Masonic, that, to me. And the Talmudist Menachem Mirei, in his gloss to Yevamot 62b, cites the Talmudic passage which states that during the time of Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 of his students died from a divinely sent plague during the counting of the Omer. 24,000. A divinely sent plague. Oh my. What is so divine about killing 24,000 students? I guess it was the fiery serpent's time again. And the Talmud goes on to say that this was because they did not show proper respect to one another. Really? And this is the God they all revere and worship? Seriously, at which point does common sense kick in? Lag Bar Omer is a sacrifice day, like all other so-called holy days. Now, Mary named Lag Bar Omer as the day when, according to a tradition of the Geonim, the plague ended. And beginning in 2004, the Israeli government designated Lag Bar Omer as the day for saluting the IDF reserves, signifying violence is to be celebrated. All very fitting. But the fact that it is a fire ritual, which just happens to coincide with the sacrifice by fire period of April 19th through May 1st, which is Beltane Day, should not be lost on people. And the Jewish people have no idea what they are taking part in. Back to America, the FBI has carried out searches at the home and office of Rudy Giuliani, who is Donald Trump's personal lawyer. No idea why. Perhaps we do now. And the raid is part of a probe into Mr. Giuliani's dealings with Ukraine. Well, I never. His lawyer says he denies breaking the law. but before the 2020 election, Mr. Giuliani led an effort to find incriminating information about the Democratic candidate Joe Biden and his son Hunter in Ukraine. An effort to find. It's everywhere for all to see. Why do you have to make an effort? You know, they should look themselves and quit waiting for the distorted and corrupt media to decide for them. Now, of course, the latex man won the election and he and his son have denied any wrongdoing. Now, several electronic devices belonging to Giuliani was seized and the warrants included an allegation that Giuliani failed to register as a foreign agent. Now, the Foreign Agents Registration Act requires people to notify the State Department if they are acting as a foreign agent on behalf of another nation. Well, given 90% of Congress act on behalf of another nation consistently, have they all registered as well? It's common sense again, oh dear. What about AIPAC and J Street? Are they registered as foreign agents? What about the CIA and the GCHQ puppets, the NSA? Are they registered as foreign agents? None of them are acting on behalf of America or Americans, are they? Well, Mr. Giuliani's lawyer, Robert Costello, maybe it was Abbott and Costello, called the searches legal thuggery and said this is totally unnecessary, adding that the search was conducted to make him look like he's some sort of criminal. He is. Try 9/11. And he added that raids stem from an alleged incident of failure to register as a foreign agent. And Mr. Giuliani has previously called the investigation pure political persecution. But if people think this is in any part of an investigation, they are deluded. It is all about a cover-up of the Bidens. And what this reveals is further evidence of the FBI, CIA and other agencies are being controlled by Democrat groups. Now, in the future, all politicians should only be allowed to be involved in their own country's dealings and businesses. This then cuts out the potential corruption, subversion of other countries' assets and reduces the blackmailing culture that's all too rife within that establishment. UK next. UK citizens are being prepared for a great British summer. Yeah, right. Summer in Britain. Well, I never. Every bank holiday it rains. And they say weather manipulation doesn't happen. And they're saying they're going to have a great British summer due to the progress of the UK's vaccination programme. However, quietly published government contracts reveal the promised roadmap out of a lockdown could in fact be a red herring. And on April 26, the UK government published a tender in search of 60 new COVID marshals in the district of Hertfordshire, which is all very Masonic. Really Masonic. And the contract offered to public security, law and order and compulsory social security service providers is set to run from July this year to January 2022 and a cost of $3 million. Now, marshals were introduced in October 2020 to help businesses manage queues, really. ensure adherence with social distancing measures, remind people to wear face coverings where necessary, and regularly clean frequently touched surfaces. Gestapo, then. As Britain's state broadcaster has acknowledged, though, they don't actually have any legal mandate to enforce rules. None. But with millions of Milgram experiment people, that doesn't seem to matter or apply. The people give them the legal mandate, as according to them, we must all follow the authority. Yeah, right. Now, officials merely hoped they'd make life at least slightly easier for those authorities, such as police, actually invested with such powers. In the UK, we used to call these people Jobsworths. Give them a little power and it all goes to their heads like mini Hitlers. But marshals are for what? Imposing martial law. And according to the new tender, these individuals are expected using an intelligence-led approach, so they're unqualified then, to provide practical support to aid and encourage compliance. There's that word again. Help introduce measures to aid public and business awareness and understanding of regulations and guidance, and disseminate COVID-19 guidance, including where additional local restrictions are in place. Now, while the job description sounds like something to expect in the COVID era, the timing may raise quite a few eyebrows, as according to the Whitehall's official roadmap, due to the success of London's national vaccination programme, no earlier than the 21st of June, the government hopes to be in a position to remove all legal limits on social contact. The 21st of June. So in comes the common sense question. If lockdowns are to be removed in June, why are they employing marshals from July onwards? Oops. Now, in March, the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, was reportedly more optimistic than ever of a great British summer imminently impending. And not long after, the Transport Secretary, Grant Shapps, said with much fanfare that for the first time, people can start to think about visiting loved ones abroad or perhaps a summer holiday. Where Britons could head to, what encumbrances on their liberty they would face upon returning, and how much restrictions such as PCR tests would add to their trip bill, was unstated. It never is. However, the document stating that COVID marshals will be required to encourage compliance among members of the public until the start of next year, at least, appears to be the first black and white confirmation coming directly from the UK government. Now, the tender strongly implies what ministers have so far been unwilling to concede, that the global pandemic isn't anywhere near over yet, and resultant lockdowns are likely, and citizens' lives will continue to be adversely affected far beyond the foreseeable future. And an even longer period of uncertainty is even more heavily insinuated by a separate tender for a COVID public information campaign in Northern Ireland, which calls for an advertising contractor to build on and continue to deliver a multimedia advertising campaign on COVID-19. But if it's going away, why do you need it? Well, clearly, it's not. But does anyone ask why we need to advertise a global pandemic that most people around the world are already aware of? It's that common sense again. Now, this was published not long after Matt Hancock's prophecy, and the contract is set to run for 2 years, from April 2021 through 2023, at a cost of £2 million. And residents of the UK should by this point be fully accustomed to optimistic ministerial forecasts in respect of COVID, leading only to disappointment. You have to go back when the country first entered into the lockdown in March 2020. And Boris Johnson pledged it would last just 3 weeks. 53 or more weeks later, they're now employing marshals until next year. Which means perhaps 3 weeks is heading towards 3 years. Now, that period of confinement eventually ended 4 months later. Why? Because the people complained. Same in America. And the Prime Minister unveiled plans to return the country to normal, there is no such thing, by Christmas. He just didn't say which one. And a 4 week lockdown was temporarily reimposed in November. Rules were relaxed for Yuletide and then partially reimposed before a full lockdown again was applied in January. They let you out of jail for Christmas. That's what happened. And like I warned in May of last year, they will keep rolling out lockdowns based on flawed maths by John Hopkins and fake waves, some of which is caused by the vaccine itself, until the people stand up and tell their governments to stick their lockdowns where the sun don't shine. Right, the next part is COVID news and bullshit. To prove that this is all about money, this whole vaccine virus malarkey, here's a perfect example of that. And according to the first quarter, just the quarter, results published by Pfizer this week, its coronavirus techno jab has reaped revenues of $3.5 billion in the first 3 months of this year. And the financial results also revealed that Pfizer has vastly exceeded its COVID-19 vaccine sales forecast of $15 billion and now expects the jab to bring in $26 billion of revenue in 2021, which is an increase of 73% on previously anticipated figures, with 1.6 billion doses set to be delivered under current contracts. And it's possible that even this adjusted forecast will prove to be an underestimate, according to the Pfizer advisory, and with Pfizer expected to secure further lucrative supply contracts throughout the year. Here is more proof the so-called vaccine doesn't work. In fact, it's proof it causes more illness than previously. And this is a country we haven't covered too many times. In fact, I'm not too sure we've mentioned them before. The Seychelles, which has fully vaccinated more of its population against the coronavirus than any other country, has closed schools and cancelled sporting activities for 2 weeks as infections surge. Yes, the 2 weeks. Mind control program kicks in again. Every fortnight, it seems. Now, the Indian Ocean Archipelago, which has a population of 98,000, is dependent on tourism for much of its foreign exchange and acted quickly to begin vaccinations in January using a donation of Chinese vaccines from the United Arab Emirates. Who did a deal with which country recently around the same time? It's all connected. But it has procured other vaccines since, and by April the 12th, 59% of the doses administered were Sinopharm vaccines, and the rest were Covishield, which is a version of AstraZeneca shots made under license in India. Interest in their vaccines came from India, given the massive problems India also now faces. Is it connected? And the great question to ask is, are the Kali Ma being eliminated? Florida next. Land of the perpetual sun. And some storms as well. The Centner Academy in Miami has told teachers if they get the vaccine, they are suspended until the vaccine is proven safe and all long-term studies are complete. And after those studies, they can get their jobs back if they have not already been replaced. Now, the stipulations were very well defined, which is unusual in and of itself, and ruled out all possibility of vaccinated individuals from shedding into the students or staff. Oops. The so-called conspiracy of shedding is now into the light. And here's a quote the school sent out. Until further notice, we ask any employee who has not yet taken the experimental COVID-19 injection to wait until the end of the school year. We also recommend that all faculty and staff hold off on taking the injection until there is further research available on whether this experimental drug is impacting unvaccinated individuals. It is our policy, to the extent possible, not to employ anyone who has taken the COVID-19 injection until further information is known. And tens of thousands of women all over the world have recently been reporting adverse reproductive issues from being in close proximity with those who have received any one of the COVID-19 injections. And they said no one knows exactly what may be causing these irregularities, but it appears that those who have received the injections may be transmitting something from their bodies to those with whom they came in contact with. Depopulation comes in many forms, it seems. And with the report out this week that the American birth rate is at its lowest in 50 years, another of the warnings I gave some time back is now unfolding. But this is jackass Ouroboros programs again, in league with Let's Kill All the Whites group based out of Israel, but are known as the Hebrew Anunnaki. Talk about it's all in your face for those who wish to see. Try this gem from Australia. The Public Health Act 2016, Western Australia. Instrument of authorisation. authorization to supply or administer a poison, SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19 vaccine, the Australian Defence Force, number 2, 2021. Guidance and authorization by the Chief Health Office under the S197 and S198 Public Health Act 2016 Western Australia to authorise relevant Australian Defence Force employees to supply and administer the COVID-19 vaccine. Now I will post the direct link on the pages because this is not a hoax. Authorization to supply or administer a poison is what they said. Now, why would they do that if it wasn't true? But as you have heard from several of our previous shows, all medicines are poisons to our own immune system. All of them. And an immune system that works better than any of their drugs, potions or pills. I'll post it in MeWe. And also on Facebook. Where can I find it? I'll put it on the show page on Facebook. And there we have it. Right, next piece. A leading Israeli doctor believes the country may be close to reaching herd immunity. And this happens when enough of a population has protection against an infection that it stops being able to spread. Unless you start shedding. And even people who don't themselves have immunity are indirectly protected. Let's just go back on that line again from this particular jackass. Even people who don't themselves have immunity are indirectly protected. We have something called an immune system that is far better than any of your drugs. 99.97%. The immune system. Drugs, COVID jabs, 63 to 90. Why would you even take it with those odds? Now they say for COVID, the estimated threshold for herd immunity is at least 65 to 70%. Now scientists in the UK are more cautious over it, and Dr. Sarah Pitt, a virologist at the University of Brighton, urged extreme caution in concluding that herd immunity has been reached, something she believes will be difficult even at high vaccination rates. So why does she argue different? That's so they can always have an open door to have another excuse to have another lockdown, you see. And she said it was too early to tell, and we need to see whether the cases in Israel continue to fall and stay at low levels. And reaching this level of population immunity is important to protect people who can't be vaccinated or are actually using their own common sense. Well, I never. Or whose immune system is too weak to produce a good protective response. Too weak because of their own drugs is why. And in Israel, more than half, 5.3 million of its residents have been vaccinated. An additional 830,000 people have been tested positive for the virus in the past, which should give them some natural immunity. So if this, here's where the jackasses can't make their mind up. This is the Ouroboros again. So here's a common sense question. If you give so much of the vaccine to so many amounts of people and you have natural immunity called herd immunity, Why would you need another vaccine next year? It's that common sense again. Oh dear. And that works out as roughly 68% of the population, which is actually non-John Hopkins math, who are likely to have antibodies in their blood which can fight the virus. No, 100% have it already, like the Italian people before the wave started, remember? So how can a vaccine be given to one person and then passed on to an unvaccinated person, unless, of course, some sort of shedding applies, as we've covered recently? So let's look at herd immunity, shall we? Maybe it provides some clues. Herd, a flock of domesticated animals. Shepherd is a sheep herder, which leads the domesticated animals to the pasture. Pasture and shepherd both have the same root word as the religious name pastor, who in the original description, the pastor was designated as the shepherd of souls. Yes, I can feel the cold chill running down the spine. Immunity is not what you think based on its etymology either. It means exemption from service or obligation. Exemption from performing public service or charge or privilege. Exempt from privilege. And depending on how you follow those words, it could actually say the domesticated animals are exempt from service or obligations, which means, as a slave, means they are dead. Or worse, about to be reanimated. And this is some of the spiel from the, not Moderna, but Mode RNA group called Risks Specific to Certain Investigational Medicines. And they say our PCV investigational medicine is uniquely manufactured for each patient using a novel complex manufacturing process, and we may encounter difficulties in production. Investigational? Really? We custom design and manufacture PCVs that are unique and tailored specifically for each patient. So twice they've said it now. Uniquely manufactured for each patient. Unique and tailored specifically for each patient. Oh my. Genetic targeting, which again is something this show warned of some time back. And this is why they have barcodes on the vaccines to match your stock or cattle number. Manufacturing unique lots of PCVs is susceptible to product loss or failure due to issues with logistics associated with the collection of a patient's tumour, blood or other tissue samples, shipping such samples to a facility for genetic sequencing, next generation sequencing of the tumour mRNA, identification of appropriate tumour specific mutations, the use of a software program, including proprietary and open source components, which is hosted in the cloud and part of our investigational medicine, to assist with the design of the patient-specific mRNA, which software must be maintained and secured. So let's play that back a bit. Tumor mRNA with software and open source components. Really? Robert David Steele, who developed the open source with his Langley OSS clowns, must be real pleased with that. And so now you know, as I said in the Clowns in Panic, why Steele wanted to give the whole world a free phone. It's in the software, in the smart, which doesn't mean clever, it means to sting or burn. Effective design of the patient-specific mRNA that encodes for the required neoantigens. Batch-specific manufacturing failures or issues that arise due to the uniqueness of each patient-specific batch that may not have been foreseen. Quality control testing failures, unexpected failures of batches placed on stability, shortages or quality control issues with single-use assemblies. Consumables or critical parts sourced from third-party vendors that must be changed out for each patient-specific batch. Significant costs associated with the individualized manufacturing that may adversely affect our ability to continue development. Successful and timely manufacture and release of the patient-specific batch. Shipment issues encountered during transportation of the batch to the patient site of care and the ability to define a consistent safety profile at a given dose when each participant receives a unique vaccine. Each participant receives a unique vaccine. We have built and installed custom manufacturing equipment for PCV that has been incorporated into a personalized vaccine unit in the MTC, which I believe means Mode RNA Therapeutics Clinic. And this unit is currently operational and we are producing batches of PCV from the MTC. This equipment may not function as designed, which may lead to deviations in the drug product being produced. This can lead to increased batch failure and the inability to supply patients enrolled in the clinical trial. If our clinical development plans are expanded due to the custom nature of the equipment and single-use assemblies, we may not be able to supply this expanded need reliably without significant investments. In addition, there will be considerable time to scale up our facilities or build new facilities before we can begin to meet any commercial demand if our PCV product is approved. And this expansion or addition of the new facilities could also lead to product compatibility issues, which can further delay introduction of new capacity. And because our PCVs are manufactured for each individual patient, we will be required to maintain a chain of identity with respect to each patient's tissue sample. Sequence data derived from such tissue sample, results of analysis of such patient's genomic analysis and the custom manufactured product for each patient. Genomic data. Perhaps people can understand now why I warned against the ancestry DNA tests. Maintaining such a chain of identity is difficult and complex, and failure to do so has in the past and may in the future result in product mix-up. Product mix-up. Adverse patient outcomes, loss of product, or regulatory action, including withdrawal of any approved products from the market. Further, as our PCV investigational medicine is developed through early stage clinical trials to later stage clinical trials towards approval and commercialization, we expect that multiple aspects of the complicated collection, analysis, manufacture and delivery process will be modified in an effort to optimize processes and results. These changes may not achieve the intended objectives, and any of these changes could cause our PCVs to perform differently than we expected, potentially affecting the results of the clinical trials. Indeed. Mode RNA in their own words. Now, PCV appears to be pneumonical or pneumococcal conjugate vaccine or packed cell volume. It's unclear at this point. Some ponderings, as if you hadn't had enough. The Director of National Intelligence has ostensibly created a new centre for the sharing and analysis of information and intelligence about foreign interference in the US elections. Oh no, not again. And its real focus is likely to be much more nefarious. Now, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence announced in a statement on Monday that it was creating a new intelligence centre focused on tracking so-called foreign malign influence. A new intelligence centre to go with the other 17 so-called intelligence agencies. All very new boss, same as the old boss, isn't it? But how many of these agencies do we actually need? Because not one of them are beneficial to the people. And it's all about global control. In the future, we're going to need to scrap 15 of the main intelligence agencies and go down to 2. One for domestic and one for international. And that's it. Because the rest of them are a complete waste of public money and offer zero value to anybody but the old system. So this new entity known as the Foreign Malign Influence Centre was mandated in the recent Intelligence and Defence Budget Authorisation Acts, representing the reality that the impetus for its creation came from Congress and not the intelligence community. For example, the most recent Defence Expenditure Authorisation required that the ODNI establish a, quote, social media data analysis centre, unquote. Really think it's about tracking foreign influence? No. To coordinate and track foreign social media influence operations by analysing data voluntarily shared by US social media companies. They already have it, so why do you need this new centre? They already have it. It's called the CIA and NSA, along with their subsidiary companies like GoOgle and Microsoft, plus the Facebook Israeli junta alongside Debka and Mossad. So why do we need any more? And based upon this analysis, the ODNI would report to Congress on a quarterly basis, providing they turn up, that is, on trends in foreign influence and disinformation operations to the public. As envisioned by Congress, the intelligence community would determine jointly with US social media companies which data and metadata will be made available for analysis. This is why they've been sending out the new terms of condition. You can guarantee it. And in short, the intelligence community using data obtained from social media accounts of American citizens will report to Congress how this data influences the political decision making of these same American decisions, or not American citizens, not decisions. But here's a novel and common sense idea. How about Congress does things solely for the benefit of the people, and all social media issues of how they vote ends? Simple. Well, if this doesn't make the most ardent defender of the so-called US Constitution, nothing will. And it's not as if the US intelligence community wasn't trending in this direction on its own volition. In fact, they've been doing it for decades. But the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, was the publication in March 2021 of an intelligence community assessment entitled Foreign Threats to the US 2020 Presidential Election. And in the document, the US intelligence community assessed that the Russian President Putin authorized and a range of Russian government organizations conducted influence operations aimed at denigrating President Biden's candidacy. I've got to start laughing. The stupidity of these people beggars belief. And the Democratic Party supporting former President Donald Trump, which was undermining public confidence in the electoral process and exacerbating socio-political divisions in the US. And what about the US media exacerbating socio-political divisions? Are they foreign agents? And it's yet again more money wasted because the childlike people at the top are all shit scared of Russia. Does anyone ask why? There's a novel question. How many times has Russia attacked this country? And to the clowns with your badges of dishonour, the answer is zero. Nil, nada, zip. So why is Russia such an issue? And here's another common sense question. How many times has groups attached to the country called America and its NATO goons attacked Russia and their stolen satellite countries like Ukraine, Georgia, Belarus, Latvia, Lithuania? The answer? Multiple times. And all this US intelligence malarkey smacks again of Robert David Steele and his OSS.net company. It was all there in the warnings in the Clowns in Panic show, where he stated that the public would become the intelligence via phones. And ignorant people all thought they would become the whistleblowers. No, you have become an unpaid spy against your own peoples. How smart is that? We're back to India again. Oh, this is gonna make me smile and grin. An Indian study has found that the SARS-CoV-2 virus spares smokers and people with the O blood group. Now, the sero survey conducted by the Indian Council for Scientific and Industrial Research also found that vegetarians also have less seropositivity, S-E-R-O, than the rest of the population. And the Pan-India Sero Survey studied the presence of antibodies against SARS-CoV-2 in people. And one of the authors of the study said the paper was recently peer-reviewed. And while smokers and vegetarians had lower seropositivity, those with the blood group O were found to be less vulnerable to the disease. And they said they were unsure what to make of this vegetarian signal in their data. Now, India has the highest percentage of vegetarians in the world by far, at up to 40%, while just 12% of its population smokes. Meanwhile, blood group O people generally function best on a high animal protein diet. Which is why I've said consistently, you eat what you need. Some people need an animal diet. Some people cannot do the vegan diet. They will die. Now, interestingly, the findings of the survey also corroborate observations made in countries including the United States with regard to the lower percentage of smokers being infected severely with the coronavirus. And the Indian survey was done by a team of 140 doctors and scientists, and it reviewed more than 10,000 voluntary participants. And the most interesting finding was that though COVID-19 is a respiratory disease, smokers tend to be less affected by it. Oops. And the inference made in the study is that smoking increases the mucus production, resulting in the creation of a certain resistance against the virus. More specifically, smoking increases ACE2 receptors in cells, and that has powerful anti-inflammatory effects on the body. Don't take ibuprofen, have a smoke. It'll work better and you'll have less side effects. Now, the paradoxical thing is that SARS-CoV-2 enters via these same receptors, yet smokers are almost completely protected via this pathway. Now, regarding the blood groups, the survey says that while people with group O are less vulnerable, those with B and AB are at higher risk. And the report also cites earlier findings in France, Italy, China and America regarding the connection between smoking and the coronavirus infection. And as per a study by the CDC, only 1.3% of survey participants were smokers, while data showed that 14% of Americans were smokers. Another academic paper that looked at various studies in the UK, China, France and America again also found that the ratio of smokers amongst hospitalised patients was far lower than that of the general population. Oops. For example, in the UK, the national rate of smoking is 14%, but smokers constituted only 5% of the hospitalised patients. In France, the percentage of smokers among COVID-related hospitalisations was a lowly 7%, while the national average of smokers was above 30%. And so now you know why there was a ban on smoking enforced. Yet ignorant people thought it was all for their own health. Natural tobacco is a high vibrational plant and beneficial. Pot is a low vibrational plant when burnt. The government in this country made pot and other drugs available in collusion with the CIA whilst banning smoking. What does that tell you? And it has been proven, although kept very quiet, that smoking prevents lung cancer. And now it prevents COVID. And you may also find smokers get less flu and common colds also. Remember, smoking was the first cause of death like COVID is now. Man crashes car and dies, but it was smoking related. Now it's COVID related, according to the jackass experts, of which there are none anyway. But if the government was interested in your health, they would have restricted alcohol more. That is far more damaging than smoking or some recreational drugs even, yet it is heavily promoted by the advertising world. But there is three other elements to stopping people smoking. Those that consume blood, those that consume adrenochrome, don't want nicotine in the bloodstream. And finally, certain off-world groups don't like the taste of humans who smoke. And no, I'm not joking. A smoke a day keeps the reps away. Talking about that, I'm going to have a smoke. We're off to Israel again. In what was known as the Israeli Jeffrey Epstein, Yehuda Meshai Zahav was rushed to hospital on Thursday after an apparent suicide attempt following reports that he ran an elite child sex trafficking ring. Now, the founder of the Zaka Emergency Service was rushed from his apartment in the Givat Ze'ev settlement of the Sha'er Zedek Medical Center in nearby Jerusalem. And according to an inside source, Meshi Zahav tried to hang himself. All very Epstein. And the Cannes public broadcaster reported that police investigators found a suicide note at the scene, addressed to Mossad. The same. And the Times of Israel reports his condition was deemed critical by doctors at the hospital, who added that it had stabilised slightly upon arrival. Now, the attempted suicide took place hours before a Channel 12 investigative programme, UVDA, was scheduled to air a report revealing additional allegations against Meshi Zahav, and some of which being particularly heinous, according to sources. And on March the 11th, the Haaretz Daily published a report in which Meshi was accused of sexual assault, rape and abuse by six people. And the expose said there will likely be many more cases. Now, the allegations against Yehuda Meshi Zahav were made by both men and women some of whom were minors at the time of the alleged events. And it is said that Meshi took advantage of his status, power and money, and even the organisation he heads, to commit sexual assault. And one alleged victim said he forcibly undressed her and raped her after offering financial aid. And the woman said that while Meshi Zahav forced himself on her, he threatened, "If you talk, a Zaka Jeep will run you over." Another said Meshi repeatedly abused him when he was only a teen, only realizing later that he was his escort, a prostitute in the full sense of the word. And of the first six allegations reported, the earliest was from 1983 and the latest from 2011. And the report added that many residents of several ultra-Orthodox neighbourhoods in Jerusalem knew of Meshi Zahav's actions but didn't say anything or report him to the authorities. They knew. And this is part of the problem, people not speaking up. I sometimes get criticised for outing painful and traumatic pieces. Yet by outing them, you are not only highlighting them, but it's the beginning of the healing process for the victims. But because these are prominent figures, no one believes them. That's the problem. Now, new alleged victims spoke with Haaretz after the initial report, including a 40-year-old woman who said she was assaulted in 2014 at age 33 when she turned to Meshi for help. Now, the case is significant because it appears to be within the statute of limitations, although the woman has not yet gone to the police. And the police opened an investigation into the Meshi Zahav in March and have received at least one formal complaint, but do not appear to have evidence within the statute of limitations. But according to the public files, or public court filings, Meshi also set up a private for-profit company called Zaka, which for years raised millions of dollars in the charity's name. There we go again. Yet Zaka is not a charity. It is a government-sponsored group who work with the Israeli police and were also given UN status as an NGO. Now, reports have alleged that he and his family kept some of the money using it as a slush fund. And Meshi Zahav, who had initially denied the allegations against him, will defend himself by claiming that all sexual relations were consensual. Now, the station, citing unnamed associates of Meshi Zahav, said he will at most say relations were in exchange for money, gifts or other benefits. And days before the initial report, Meshi was declared a winner of the Israeli Prizes Lifetime Achievement Award for his contributions to Israeli society. They love rewarding the psychopaths, don't they? Like the Nobel Peace Prize, which is not for peace. And the Education Minister, Yoav Gallant, announced that the prestigious prize would go to Meshi Zahav for his decades of work in Zaka. Now, in 2003, he was also the person who lit a torch at Israeli National Independence Day celebrations. Now, a day after the report, Meshi announced that he was stepping down from his role in Zaka and giving up the Israeli prize. Now, he was a vocal critic of some of the ultra-Orthodox leadership during the pandemic, as some prominent community figures downplayed the virus, including in an October interview with the Times of Israel. all sounds very Epstein to me. And is this a case of throwing out the sacrificial lamb to cover up higher elements within the society? And the use and abuse of sex is a powerful weapon in the Hebrew Anunnaki circles and always has been. Which is why they run the vast majority of porn sites. And here is another example. Again, this is something we covered recently and also in the past. The art of sexual blackmail that runs rampant through the corridors of so-called power. But an Israeli rabbi has given his blessing to female agents of the Israel's Foreign Secret Service, Mossad, who may be required to have sex with the enemy in so-called honeypot missions against terrorists. And Rabbi Ari Shavat, ruling appeared in a study, Illicit Sex for the Sake of National Security, which was published by the Tesomet Institute, which studies the interface between religion and modernity. But Shvat wrote that honeypot missions are not just a thing of modern day espionage, such as the late 1980s capture of Mordechai Vanunu, who was the Israeli nuclear technician who revealed details of Israel's nuclear program, or the January 2010 assassination of the alleged terrorist Mahoud al-Mabhoua in Dubai. Now, both of those cases involved a Mossad female lure. In fact, honeypot missions are rooted in biblical lore. Queen Esther was a honeypot. Well, I never. And Queen Esther, who was Jewish, slept with the Persian king Xerxes around 500 BC, allegedly to save her people. And Yael, the wife of Heva, slept with the enemy chief of staff Sisera to tire him and then cut off his head. Didn't say which one, perhaps it was both, and according to tradition. And there is a catch, however, for married honeypots. And he said, if it is necessary to use a married woman, it would be best for her husband to divorce her. After the sex act, he would be entitled to bring her back, Shavat wrote. How very nice of him. And naturally, a job of that sort could be given to a woman who, in any event, is licentious in her ways. Male agents in Mossad apparently have no limitations on sleeping with the female enemy, as they were not mentioned in the writings. And Shvat's study was praised by the Tesomet director, Rabbi Yisrael Rosen, who added that women employees of the Mossad are probably not going to come and consult with a rabbi before their missions. Cleopatra was another honeypot assassin for the Egyptian and more modern day Israeli cult as well. The very fact that the Israeli religious community give its approval tells you all you need to know about that cult and their followers. So now we're going to go from the cult to the occult. I'm going to go back in time a bit and realize not everything is as new as you thought it was. And this is called the British Occult Secret Service, the untold story. And since the time of Elizabeth I, British secret services have worked according to the principle of the end justifies the means. Money, bribery, blackmail, these are their recruitment methods, the seducement. And this was said by Nikolai Petrushev, who is the head of the Russian Federal Security Service, FSB, back in October of 2007. So who are the British occult secret service? Well, it's all in the letters. They could be the boss, British occult secret service, or you take British out and you're left with OSS. They are the OSS, riddled with Jewish and Egyptian mysticism, as they call it. Satanicism, I would deem it. And it's not really surprising that historically occultism and espionage have often been strange bedfellows. The black art of espionage is about obtaining secret information, and they used witches, psychics and astrologers have always claimed to be able to predict the future and know about things hidden from the ordinary people. And unlike the Catholic churches, they spoke to those people, the OSS did. The church declared them heretics and burnt them all alive. Oh, what a holy and divine practices they have. Not. But gathering intelligence is carried out under the cloak of secrecy, and occultists are adept at keeping their activities concealed from sight. That's why they called it the mystery schools. A mystery to us. Well, no more. And like secret agents, they also use codes, symbols and cryptograms to hide information from outsiders. And occultists and intelligence officers are similar in many ways, as both inhabit a shadowy underworld of secrets, deception and also disinformation. It is therefore not unusual that often these two professions have shared the same members. Now, the father of the British Secret Service was the Elizabethan lawyer, politician, diplomat and spymaster Sir Francis Walsingham. That was in the 1500s. Now, he was a Protestant, which is not a religion, it's a protesting movement. And as a young man during the bloody reign of the Catholic Queen Mary, was forced to flee abroad to escape persecution. And while in exile, Walsingham learned Italian and French and became acquainted with the work of the famous Venetian Secret Service, that had used its spying skills for trade and commerce under the cloak of diplomacy. Well, I never. Sounds like the modern day CIA. When Queen Elizabeth I was crowned, Francis Walsingham returned to England and he was appointed as the secretary to the English ambassador to the French court in Paris, and also worked as a secret agent reporting back the intelligence he gleaned to Queen Elizabeth's Secretary of State. This is not the current Queen Elizabeth, it was the previous one. Sir William Cecil, later Lord Burghley. And between 1568 and 1570, Walsingham, who had become a Member of Parliament, worked in England under domestic counter-espionage, exposing Catholic plots against the monarchy. Faction fighting. And so 300 years after the Magna Carta, the monarchy had risen again, and the black nobility of Rome, represented as the church, was still playing faction wars, is what this is telling you. which is what the Magna Carta, the Great Cartel, was all about. The people have never been represented, as too many are all too content to allow rich people and elites to dictate for them. And that's what we have to change. Now, in 1570, Walsingham was appointed as the new ambassador to France, and he proceeded to set up his own network of undercover agents in France, Italy, Spain, and the Low Countries. And the late Cecil Williamson, who worked for British intelligence during World War II and later ran a witchcraft museum, told the writer that Walsingham had often used witches as spies. So in come the mysterious Dr. D. One of the famous occultists he is known to have recruited was Queen Elizabeth's court astrologer and the magical architect of the British Empire, the Welsh magician Dr. John Dee. Now, Walsingham was involved in the machinations for the proposed marriage of the Duke de Anjou and also to Queen Elizabeth. Now, the Anjou is one of the three French family bloodlines that makes up the so-called British Three Lions emblem. Oops. At the spymaster's personal recommendation, the Queen dispatched Dee to France with orders to report back on the progress of the marriage negotiations. And the Magus travelled to the Duchy of Lorraine and drew up the birth charts of both the Duke and his brother, who was also regarded as a possible husband for the English monarch, all in-house, as you can see. And Dr. Dee, probably influenced by Walsingham, diplomatically reported back to London that the stars had suggested a political alliance would be far wiser than matrimony, and the Queen took his advice. The astrology stars. Oh dear. No wonder so much of society went wrong back then. Relying on a science that has a missing component is pure folly, and yet it continues to this day. You cannot do astrology with one constellation missing. Pure folly, you know, and I just don't wish to hear why a Venus with a silent P is in conjunction with Uranus, as that's far too much information for my liking. But in 1573, Sir Francis returned to London and became a Privy Councillor, and this placed him at the heart of the government, and he proceeded to set up what amounted to the first organised foreign espionage service to operate from England. In 1566, he had put in place a pan-European network of spies, extending as far to the east as Turkey and Russia, where Dr. Dee reported on the ongoings at the Tsar's court. So you see, with this, the Five Eyes network goes back way further than people thought. Now, this network mostly gathered intelligence on the military activities of the Spanish, who were the lead royals at the time, and were also England's primary enemies as well. Now, Walsingham was also responsible for foiling the Catholic plot, whose exposure led to the execution of Mary, Queen of Scots. Who's Mary? Using Dr. Dee's psychic powers. Ooh. And he was apparently able to discover that the plotters were passing secret messages to the imprisoned Scottish Queen, hidden in bottles of wine. Now, while travelling in Europe in 1562, Dr. Dee had come across a book written by Abbot Trimethus of Spanheim. And this was a guide to writing ciphers and secret codes for magical purposes. And Dee informed Sir William Cecil about his discovery. And on his return to England, Dr. Dee adopted the abbot's cryptography and gave it to Sir Francis Walsingham for use by his secret agents. Again, we all thought cryptography was late 1800s or early 1900s. No, it was operating in the 1500s. And he also passed on the political and military intelligence he had acquired during his travels across Europe. And it has been alleged that Dee used the famous Enochian, Enoch, magical alphabet as a code to disguise this information. The Enochian magical alphabet as a code. Because if he had been arrested, his captors would not have understood it and dismissed it as nonsense. Why? Because this was off-world coding, is why. Enoch was one of the Hebrew Anunnaki. And this is the coding that's used by Freemasons and Mormons, all based in the Egyptian Hebrew Anunnaki codes. Which is why Zachariah Sitchin was allowed to decode it in part. Some truth and some diversion. Why? Because Sitchin was born too and died in. And was also an Illuminati member. You don't think they would tell us the whole truth, do you? The answer is no. Now in 1587, Dee even claimed that he received a spirit message from one of his angelic contacts concerning a threat to the English fleet. You know, if it was modern time, Dee would be claimed as a conspiracy theorist. So Dee was a latter day, pardon the pun, John Smith of the Mormon fame. Angelic contacts. Yeah, right. Now, the message said that the group of disguised Frenchmen working for the Spaniards was secretly visiting the Forest of Dean. Now, the Forest of Dean was a royal hunting ground previously in 1066. And the word Dean meant an enclave of a group of 10 monks. All very Desi Mal before its reintroduction. Why? Because 10 is the binary code, is why. Ones and zeros. Now that forest was the centre for English shipbuilding, and the French agents planned to bribe disloyal foresters to burn it down. And Dee sent his supernatural intelligence to Walsingham and the saboteurs, who were masquerading as squatters, and they were arrested. Now, the information supplied to Sir Francis Walsingham from his European spy network convinced him that a Spanish armada would be launched against England in 1588. And he asked Dee to use his knowledge of astrology to calculate the weather prospects for an invasion. And the magus told them there would be an impending disaster in Europe caused by a devastating storm. And when news of this prophecy, there is no prophecy, it's plan, was leaked and reached Spain, naval recruitment fell, and there were desertions of sailors from the Spanish fleet. Pagan Dar. In Lisbon, an astrologer who repeated the prediction was charged with spreading false information. So you see, fake news is not something from the last few years. It was going on in the 1500s. And in an act of psychological warfare, Dr. Dee also informed Emperor Rudolf of Bohemia, the modern-day Czech Republic and the King Stephen of Poland that the predicted storm would cause the fall of a mighty empire, which at the time was Britain. Now, Rudolf, who was an occultist and Dee's patron when he stayed in Bohemia, passed on the warning to the Spanish ambassador. Now, it is a fact that in 1588 a great storm did scatter the ships of the Spanish Armada in the English Channel, and that aided the English victory. And this meteorological event was popularly credited to a magical ritual performed by the buccaneer Sir Francis Drake on the cliffs at Plymouth. A magical ritual. Now, superstitious people at the time believed Drake was a wizard. Which one? And he also, they claimed that he sold his soul to the devil in exchange for success over the Spanish. If you dance with magic, you get burnt. And it is claimed that he also organized several covens of witches to work magically to raise the storm and prevent the invasion. Yes, he danced with the devil, or the jinns. They perform the magic, light or dark, at great cost. Now, meanwhile, as a result of scrying in his shoe stone or crystal, Dr. Dee saw a symbolic vision of a castle with its drawbridge drawn up, which was England, and the image of the elemental king of fire. And as a result, he urged the navy to employ fire ships against the Armada, and they did so with good results. Now, after Sir Francis Walsingham's death in 1590 and the ascension to the English throne of the Scottish King James, Dr. John Dee fell into royal disfavour. The new king had an unhealthy obsession with witchcraft, and his early reign was dominated by this preoccupation, which led him to employ the Secret Service in his own personal vendetta against suspected witches. Now, James I ordered its agents to hunt down alleged practitioners of witchcraft and expose their alleged plots against the monarchy. And one of those involved was the Earl of Bothwell, accused of high treason for organising a coven of Scottish witches, Scottish Rite, to work magic against the king in an attempt to seize the throne. Now, to assist his secret agents in their new witch-hunting activities, King James persuaded Parliament in 1604 to pass a new and stronger Witchcraft Act to deal with the problem. And the bill was rushed through, and it was made law within 3 months. It's funny how that works, isn't it? It's a bit like the American Congress for aid to Israel. It gets passed within 3 days. So you would think this practice of covens and witches influencing elections or power had ended. And yet we had the case of the Canadian coven connected to the Sisterhood of the Rose, whose organisation dates back thousands of years and back to the Sirius star system, known as the Scarlet Sisterhood, who were one bad bunch of evil, they were, and still are, as some are in their human form here. The Sisterhood of the Rose is the Scarlet Sisterhood. They were just about the most evil witches ever. Now, the Canadian coven did witchcraft on Trump to influence an election. Yet, curiously, none of the agencies arrested them for threatening a standing president. It's funny how that works, isn't it? The next part is called Dashwood and the Hellfire Club. Some of you may have heard it. And in the 18th century, the Secret Service became concerned that the activities of the so-called Hellfire Club that was founded by Sir Francis Dashwood, later who became the Chancellor of the Exchequer and a close friend and political advisor of King George III. And as a young man, Dashwood went on a grand tour of Europe that was compulsory for aristocrats, and he was initiated into the Masonic Lodge in France. And whilst visiting Italy, he developed anti-Catholic views, violently broke up a celebration of the Mass and insulted the Pope. Sounds fair to me. Even though he was an aristocrat, Dashwood was disgusted at the vast wealth of the Roman Church compared with the poverty of its devoted worshippers. And why didn't he give some of his money to them then? No, that's not how it works again. And he also became fascinated by classic mythology and decorated his country house at West Wickham in Buckinghamshire with murals, paintings and statues of Greek and Roman gods and goddesses. Now, Sir Francis Dashwood founded a secret society called the Order of the Friars of St. Francis of Medmenham, more popularly known as the Hellfire Club. So the Hellfire Club was a religious order that was named after the abbey he had purchased on the banks of the River Thames where its meetings were held. And rumours circulated in the coffee houses of London that the friars practiced sexual orgies featuring aristocratic ladies, and prostitutes were dressed up as nuns. There were also satanic rites, such as black masses, where the naked body of a noblewoman acted as an altar. Altar means a sacrifice table, remember. However, according to one senior member of the Hellfire Club, this occult mummery was just an amusing diversion for the dandies. No, it wasn't. It was an orgy of sexual debauchery, blood drinking and sacrifice, ritual sacrifice, just like its counterpart, the Bohemian Grove. Now, the inner circle of the order was actually dedicated to the serious revival of the pagan Eleusinian mysteries and the worship of Bona Dea, or the Great Mother Goddess, the Kali Ma. Pagan, oh dear, from one hellfire to another, and if you will pardon the pun, we don't need their pro-pagan da propaganda, which means pro-pagan skin. Now, Dashwood's present-day descendant, also called Sir Francis, confirmed this fact in a BBC radio interview some years ago, and it has been claimed secret agents infiltrated the Hellfire Club because of one of its many members, or many famous members, and they included the Earl of Sandwich, John Montague, who was the first Lord of the Admiralty, Maritime Law, the Paymaster General Thomas Potter, several Members of Parliament, the Lord Mayor of London, which then tells you these were all Crown agents, a son of the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Earl of Bute, who was the Prime Minister, and it was also being claimed even the Prince of Wales attended. And at least four members of the group were known to be actively involved in espionage. And there was a radical MP called John Wilkes, a transvestite French diplomat, Chevalier d'Eon de Beaumont, the American statesman and philosopher Benjamin Franklin and Sir Francis Dashwood himself. Now, Wilkes had allegedly recruited the Chevalier into the British Secret Service. And during his stay in Russia on the Grand Tour, Dashwood had spied on the court of the Tsar through his close friendship with the Grand Duchess Catherine. In Italy, he gathered intelligence on the exiled Stuart dynasty, of which Princess Diana was one of them, and their supporters, although the head of the British Secret Service in Rome believed Dashwood was a Jacobite agent. In fact, he was only pretending to support the Stuart cause and was passing on information about their activities directly back to London. Now, in later years, Sir Francis and Benjamin Franklin were involved in a clandestine plan to reconcile the American colonists and the British government to prevent the War of Independence. Franklin, who is still revered here, was a Crown agent who worked for the Rothschilds. Well, I never. The next section of this occult is Rudolf Hess and the British occult connection, which brings it up to more modern day, particularly for the elderly club. And during World War II, British intelligence invited many occultists into its ranks because it needed their specialist knowledge and skills, and the assistant director of naval intelligence during the war was Lieutenant Commander Ian Fleming, best known later as a thriller writer and the creator of the famous fictional, they say, no, it was documentary, spy James Bond, 007. Now, Fleming was also interested in astrology and numerology, geometra, which is Hebrew Anunnaki again. And he was a friend of the notorious magician and clown, Aleister Crowley, who had worked for MI6, the Secret Intelligence Service, during World War I, and in the 1920s and 30s spying on Germans with occult interests. And this was covered in a book, The Magus Was a Spy, by Dr. Richard Spence, in New Dawn, back in 2007. For the American benefit of the Americans, MI5 is the domestic intelligence, a bit like the FBI, although we have Scotland Yard, which is also like the FBI. And MI6 is international. They're all clowns. Now, Ian Fleming conceived an audacious plan to lure a high-ranking member of the German government into defecting to Britain so as to provide a morale-boosting pro-pagan Dar coup. Now, this idea had been inspired by a novel written by Fleming's brother Peter called The Flying Visit. And Peter Fleming was a journalist, and he also worked for both MI5 and the pro-pagan Dar section of the clandestine Special Operations Executive, SOE. Now, the novel imagined that Hitler's plane crash-landed in England and he was captured, and the Reich Minister and Deputy Führer himself, Rudolf Hess, was chosen as a suitable candidate for the actual plot. Now, there was stories coming out of my hometown that Hitler landed in Liverpool, England, which has never been fully revealed, whether it was the truth or not. Now, the reason for this was because Hess, like Hitler, was a supporter of peace with Britain. But he was also under the influence of astrologers and occultists, and it was believed that this could be used against them. Now, Commander Fleming recreated the Link, a defunct Anglo-German friendship society of the 1930s that had a wealthy membership of Nazi sympathisers drawn from the British establishment. And that is correct, because most of the cabinet in the British government at the time, the Conservatives, were Nazis and were often known to wine and dine with the Nazi elite during the war. Now, ironically, or perhaps coincidentally, the Link had been founded by Admiral Sir Barry Domville, who was an ex-director of the Naval Intelligence Department after he retired in 1930. And Domville was arrested and interned in May 1940 because MI5 believed he was plotting a fascist coup d'etat supported by aristocratic peacemongers. Now, the Admiral was a friend of Major General J.F.C. Boney Fuller, a famous military analyst who designed the tactics for the first tank battle in World War I. Fuller also invented the concept of Blitzkrieg, which was used so successfully in World War II, not by the British, but the Germans. Well, I never. Now, Fuller was an open admirer of Hitler, and he attended the Führer's 50th birthday party in 1939. A leading member of Sir Oswald Mosley's British Union of Fascists, a friend of Ian Fleming, and a leading disciple of Aleister Crowley again. Now, in the 1930s, Fuller formed the extreme right-wing Nordic League, aka the White Knights of Britain, allegedly established by Nazi agents. However, in the 1950s, he was a member of the MI6, supported group of Russian emigres engaged in anti-communist propaganda. So the MI6 had Russian people engaging in anti-communist propaganda. And it has been suggested that Fuller was not interned during the war with other leading fascists such as Mosley and Domville because he was an MI6 double agent. And Ian Fleming's idea was to persuade the German high command in Berlin, and especially Rudolf Hess, that when war broke out, the Link had not disbanded but had gone underground, and it was allegedly regrouped and recruited with even more prominent pro-Nazi members in the British establishment, including aristocrats and royalty. Remember, the British royalty are German. The Queen is German, not British. Saxe, Gotha, Coburg. They changed the name to Windsor during World War I because of Britain being at war with Germany. And the people thought that was a conflict of interest. And they changed the name to one of the royal houses, which is called Windsor. Again, using fake names, all very prominent in the elite circles. Now, these were represented by the NID as influential people with the political muscle to overthrow the Prime Minister or Crime Minister Winston Churchill's national wartime government, call a ceasefire and agree to a peace treaty with Germany. And under its terms, Britain would keep control of its empire and Germany would have free reign in occupied Europe. Now, the Nazis also hoped that British troops would be sent to fight alongside the German Wehrmacht and the SS against the Soviet Union in a joint anti-communist crusade. And Hitler did not want to invade or occupy Britain. Instead, he would have preferred to negotiate a treaty with a sympathetic new government in London. And it has also been suggested that the only reason the Fuhrer abandoned Operation Sea Lion, the proposed invasion of southern England, and instead invaded the Soviet Union, was to force Churchill, who was a Rothschild, to accept peace terms. And if the Red Army had been defeated, Britain would have truly been standing alone, as Hitler did not believe the Americans had the political will to enter the war, until the Rothschilds interjected again. And unfortunately, he underestimated the ability and resolve of the Soviets to defend their motherland, and also the clandestine support that the US was already offering Great Britain. Now, the NID plot to ensnare Rudolf Hess used bogus astrological predictions combined with political intelligence. And Hess was persuaded that a Scottish aristocrat, the Duke of Hamilton, was willing to negotiate peace terms on behalf of influential people at the top of British society who wanted to end the war. Now, the Duke had met Hess at the Berlin Olympics in 1936. I think that was the Jesse Owens Olympics. And the Deputy Führer, for some reason, thought he was a member of the surviving Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. Drake was a member of that cult. Ian Fleming commissioned an astrologer to produce a fake astrological forecast indicating that May 10th, 1941 would be a propitious date for Hess to fly to Scotland and meet secretly with the Duke of Hamilton and other members of the so-called British Peace Party. But Hess's occult advisers had also told him that there would be an unusual planetary conjunction on May the 10th. Here we go again. Conjunction with Uranus again. And on that day, six planets would be aligned in the zodiac of Taurus and conjoined to the full moon. There's moon rituals again. And at the same time, Hitler's chart showed malefic astrological aspects. Now, Hess saw himself in the role of a messianic hero, saving Germany from possible future defeat by making peace with the British. And all the false reports reaching the Deputy Führer about the political situation in England and the astrological aspects convinced him that his mission would be a success. So Hess flew to Scotland on May the 10th, 1941, in the firm belief that on landing he would be met by the Duke of Hamilton and the Duke of Kent, and whisked off to London for a private audience with King George the VI. And he had been convinced by the misinformation fed to him by British intelligence that these three men represented a genuine peace movement capable of removing the warmonger Churchill and agreeing to German terms. Hess had also previously met the Duke of Windsor when he had visited Berlin before the war. Now, as a result, Hess was persuaded that some members of the German descended royal family were sympathetic to Nazism. Certainly the Duke of Saxe-Coburg, formerly Prince Charles Edward, who was a grandson of Queen Victoria and a close friend of the Duke of Windsor, had embraced Nazism. There was a famous picture around 8 years ago in the UK that staggered most of the British people. But it was also an end to the royals' control. Because there's no way that picture would have come out unless it came from higher orders, of which the British royal family are no longer part of. And what it showed was the Queen's father teaching Queen Elizabeth the Nazi Sieg Heil sign. That was the media throwing the royals under the bus. Now, Hitler had appointed him as the head of the German branch of the Red Cross, Hess, and they were responsible, the Red Cross and that group, for exterminating the mentally sick and physically disabled. Red Cross, Red Rose, Sisterhood of the Rose, Scarlet Sisterhood. The Rose Line, connected to Anu, which brings in the Templars, which is connected to the Roman Catholic Church. It's all the same people. Why do you think the symbol for Switzerland, which is ran by the Rothschilds, which has a white cross with a red background, it's just the mirror version, which is also part of this mysticism and an occult, the mirror. They flip it. They know what the mirror's for. And unfortunately, instead of meeting pro-Nazi aristocrats and royals when he landed, Hess was captured by a local farmer and a home guard unit. And they handed him over to the police and he was transferred to London to be interrogated by MI5. And unfortunately, the British government completely mishandled the capture of Hess. And it has been suggested that Churchill believed the subterfuge by the NID, Naval Intelligence, and SIS, suggesting leading members of the British establishment might be pro-German, may have been based on fact. And it was. And for that reason, the government did not capitalise on Hess's peace mission. Why? Because it was all staged, is why. And yet again, these are examples of faction-based fighting for their own control, as have all wars been. The German High Command had also disowned him and said that his flight had been unauthorised. And they also suggested that Hess might be insane, for his value for pro-Pagandar purposes was undermined and diminished. Now, Hess's apparent defection caused widespread panic in Berlin concerning the influence of occultism on the Nazi Party, and the Gestapo immediately launched Operation Action Hess. Now, on the direct orders of Hitler, they rounded up hundreds of occultists, psychics and astrologers, including Hess's leading occult advisor, Ernest Schulte Strathaus. And in June 1941, a decree was issued banning all public performances of clairvoyance, astrology, fortune-telling or telepathy. And anybody associated with Hess and his esoteric interests was thrown into concentration camps, and occult secret societies were closed down. Remember, Hitler also banned the Freemasons before the war started. He also banned the SS in 1933 and killed a number of them. His story won't tell you that, but From Russia with Love will. And because of staff shortages in the Gestapo, officers of the Naval Intelligence Services were drafted in to interrogate some of the arrested psychics. And it has been claimed that they recruited some of them for secret operations, using dowsing on maps with pendulums to hunt down British submarines. And it's being claimed that Ian Fleming and the NID was involved in a plot to silence the spiritualist medium Helen Duncan, the penultimate person to be charged under the Old Witchcraft Act of 1736. Now, she was arrested in 1944 after holding a séance during which allegedly the spirit of a dead sailor from the sinking of the HMS Bolham physically manifested. And as the news of the loss had not been publicly released and the Admiralty was keeping it secret for morale purposes, Duncan became a target for the security services, and she and other psychics were regarded as a serious threat to national security, which really means to cover up crimes. And they became the object of an MI5 NID dirty tricks operation to silence leaks. Now, this suggests that the intelligence services actually believed these mediums had genuine powers. No, they danced with the djinns. And Duncan's arrest and subsequent trial was in fact condemned by Winston Churchill as a waste of public funds and was allegedly meant to deter other mediums. Now, the War Office was paranoid that military secrets about the forthcoming D-Day landings in Normandy would be revealed at seances and become public knowledge or passed to the Germans. Fear, fear, fear. And so, the summing up of that, all the royalty and leaders were duped by the occult-based peoples, all of which operate for the dark forces. Don't tell me that you are a light witch, because I will reply, you are a dark forces person. Because you, like the royals and so-called leaders down the ages, have been fooled on a massive scale, all of you. They all dance with the dark, believing you were operating in the light. But to operate in the light requires you to work on yourself. Magic is a cheat sheet and a direct line to the dark forces who operate it. And they all fell for their powers of seduction when the lessons for covens, witches and occult practices is to observe it, not absorb it. That way, they teach you your best lessons. But all too often, people fall for the easier path. But that is an illusion also, because it's actually the longer and the harder path. There are no shortcuts to soul development. It takes what some call the hard work. But that is an illusion also. It is the easy work. The only thing that is hard about it is standing in the truth. People too easily believe the lie, not only from others, but themselves, which is completely nonsensical. But that is because you allowed one side of your brain to dominate, generally the lower vibrational side, packed with limitations, blocks, boxes, and lower self-worth. Turn that off and merge with the higher vibrational side, and you are on the easier path to development and abilities, where you don't need magic, witchcraft, seances, potions, mantras, mandalas, or fake churches for enlightenment. No war was ever fought for freedom, for the people, or rescuing people. None. It was all about the psychopaths, elites, fighting for control and power, dancing with the dark forces of covens, witches, using fake science astrology, mixed in with heavy occultism and mysticism. World War II, like the previous one, was a Rothschild family war, the same as the wars in America. Get the masses to fight each other for their amusement, and I'm not joking either. Lend to both sides and then collect the shekels. And Americans have to realize when they say we are fighting for freedom, it really means the Elites are requesting free domain over you. Freedom is a play on words. To free up domain for the monarchs, nobles and elites is what it means. Like the word kingdom, it means the king's domain. Domain means territory over which dominion is exerted. From dominus, which means lord, master, owner. The notion of ownership of land comes legal eminent domain, which means ultimate or supreme lordship over all property in the state. And all people were property of the state under the Sesweke Act, plus the Magna Carta Act, which assigned all of Britain and its subjects over to the nobility. The black nobility operating the Catholic Church. Final piece tonight. We live in a world with a chronic maths problem. Too few can add, subtract, divide, or multiply with their own calculator, called their brain. And this allows the devious, like the John Hopkins Center for Lunacy, to spit out pro-pagan dar and add figures to the positive tests, add figures to the cases, and add figures to the death list to create the fear. Then they subtract the side effects and subtract the death list caused by their experimental techno jab. But if you can still catch corona after having the vaccine, what is the passport for? Perhaps it's for the souls to fly. Think about that. Putting germ and bacterial cloth over a child's mouth for 8 hours a day in our world is called abuse. As a child, most were warned of the dangers of drugs. Why, if the government is pushing them, should that be any different? Many say they would die for their children. But the great question is, will they live and rise up for their children? They say they wish to reduce carbon. You do realise that carbon is us. Some people only love you if you fit into their box. Tell them you are not a box, or a bot for that matter. The only thing a government needs to get you to do what they want is to create fear. But fear is a future event, which means it has not happened yet. And that means you can prevent it. Think different. Listen and silent both have the same 6 letters for a reason. Use it. You can't keep getting mad at people for sucking the life out of you if you keep giving them the straw. The only people who get mad at you for speaking the truth are those living the lie. The pursuit of truth is our greatest discovery path. Seek it. The truth is whole. The lie is fragmented. Do you wish your body to be whole or fragmented? If the truth will set you free, why live in a self-contained jail? And the best thing about truth is, you don't have to remember it. Why have speech if you are unable to speak it? Why have ears if you are unwilling to listen? Why have a brain if you allow governments, think tanks, unintelligent agencies, social media, computers and the lie-based bot culture to run it for you? Failure to exercise all three makes you deaf, mute and dumb. The crown of creation, deaf, mute and dumb? Do you all realize how ridiculous that all sounds? Don't let the truth become the new hate speech. Because the worst thing about being lied to is knowing the deliverer feels you are not worthy of the truth. The people who dare to speak the truth should not be made into enemies. They are your lessons of and in observation. Anyone can be educated to become intelligent. But has intelligence been defined? But intellect is from within and self-taught and supersedes intelligence on a massive scale. In essence, intelligence is external, but intellect and wisdom are internal. Gain both and use it wisely. You are the computer, not of AI, but OI, organic intelligence. You are the superpower, you are the Neo, and you are your own saviour. And once you all realise that, there are no limits. This has been the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Bye for now.